Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money. You know, Faisal, let's talk a little bit about the markets and the kind of the wrap up for the week. We came off a difficult February.
Mm-hmm.
It was really the market action in February was driven by a repricing of expectations of where central banks are going to take interest rates, predominantly the U.S. Fed, right? And the uncertainty around that. How high are they going to go, and how long are they going to keep them? Higher than what we had anticipated, and that created a bunch of volatility.
And that's where the debate will continue. A, are we going into a recession?
Mm-hmm.
B, how long will this inflation rate be above the target rate of the central banks? And then C, how long will these interest rates stay at these levels? And are they going to go down? The debate's out there.
Mm-hmm.
We were initially hearing that by mid-year 2023, they'll start to cut rates.
Yep.
Then they got pushed to second half
yep.
of 2023.
Yep.
My view, next year, if they need to.
Right.
If they need to.
Right.
And so this is a balancing act. Everybody's concerned about the Federal Reserve's credibility.
Right.
Can they actually believe what they say? No matter what, if you follow what the Fed is doing, it will tell you exactly where things are headed. Now it's a matter of pricing the assets around that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the debate is still going on.
Yeah, and there's going to be uncertainty around that debate because it's data dependent. And the data is unlikely to be consistent every month. So if you're looking for inflation data to fall every single month, you're not going to get it. We're going to get different data that says different things, right?
Sure.
So it's a choppy process. Naturally, and I think people are going to have to brace themselves for what comes as a result of whatever the data says that day.
It's like a yo-yo diet.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels good and sometimes it doesn't feel good. And
yeah.
when it doesn't feel good because your weight's gone up on that diet, the feeling of or lack of motivation to continue comes up, and that's a selling in the market. So it's very,
yeah.
very similar to a yo-yo diet. And I think when we look at that, we got to have strategy for a little bit longer term. You and I were talking about this. I believe it was Thursday. We sat down and talked about the portfolio and how it's structured. There's two sides to this. There's your one side, which is your fixed income and alternative side to kind of lower volatility. There's opportunities for growth. And there's just kind of hugging what the market is doing in the middle, and that approach. Is what many of institutional money managers and pension plans are doing at this
sure.
point in time. And so the strategy that you have to think about going forward right now, as of this point, is how do you want your portfolio positioned? Are you prepared to take the large swings as we get through this? Or do you want to kind of minimize that volatility while we get through this? The solution is in between those two scenarios, some are looking at cash, and you're going to see more and more articles about just buying GICs because they're at 4 or 5%,
right?
Or going into high interest savings account because you're getting 4%, and we haven't had that for 15 years.
Right.
The debate's out, and I think there's a lot of a consideration to be done and to be had.
Yeah. Well, and you know what it does is it brings into play other tools. If you mentioned GIC, there's other tools that people have at their disposal now that they didn't have a year ago, or 2 or 3 or 4 years ago, right? Because of where interests are and so on and so forth. So that's cool. The more tools we have, the better it is. You just have to obviously align whatever your investment thesis, strategy, and goals and objectives are
yep.
to make it work over time. But you said something interesting I want to jump on as well. If people accept that this debate about how high, how far, how long interest rates are going to be wherever they're going to be, and the data won't necessarily be consistent every month, and it's going to create some choppiness. You've got to manage not just your expectation of return, you have to manage your expectation of risk. And so when you talk about, you know, barbelling a conservative piece with a piece that's designed to take advantage of opportunity, and you've got this middle piece that kind of hugs the market, what we're talking about there is trying to manage both of those sides, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talk about this concept of R plus R equals result. It's risk plus return equals result.
Say that one more time for the people to understand what the equation is. What plus what equals results or
yeah,
return?
Yeah, so we call the R plus R equals results. The return plus the risk of the portfolio equals the result that you get.
Here's the challenge I think investors should be asking either their advisor or if they're do-it-yourself, calculating the risk level out there. That's the one thing, is ask how much risk or volatility should I expect given the portfolio I have in front of me. And that's a good gut check, because when markets are going up, everybody has risk, a high risk tolerance.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good point, excellent.
When
yeah.
markets go down, everybody starts to reassess their risk tolerance right. all of a sudden.
Yep.
And it becomes market dependent,
right.
not objective dependent.
Right.
Okay, and so no matter what happens, because you don't know if this market's taken off next month or it's gonna crater next month. We don't know those answers, or somewhere in between. So understand what's the volatility, the risk metric
yep.
to that equation.
Yep.
And then you could say, given the rate of return we're expecting, is and that risk, is it worth that result
right.
that I want, is it not? And I think that's a key piece. So when we look at what's happening out there, you're seeing companies being, they do well on one earnings call and their stock goes up 13%, or they miss and their stock goes down 13%. We have to remember that the economy is not the stock market,
right.
and the stock market's not the economy.
Right.
The stock market is a forward-looking metric of the economy.
Right.
They're not the same thing.
And nor is a company the stock market, right? Like an individual company, an individual bond is not the bond market.
Correct.
And so there's lots of layers there that people have to work through, right? And so we tend to use these terms as generalized, gross generalizations, right? And we've talked about the rules of thumb. You got to be careful about that stuff. Yeah, okay, so R plus R equals the result, risk plus return equals the result. And that's what we talk about around structure and discipline as well, right? You've got to make sure that you work backwards from your goal and objective, and you use the proper rigor, structure and discipline to make sure that you can manage all of those different objectives.
Dave, we've got a couple of minutes before we have to end the show. Three tips for our listeners on how they can assess the risk of their portfolio. What do they need to do?
Well, the first one is the gut check, right? I think that's the simplest one. I think that there was a lot of that going on last year.
What do you mean by gut check?
Well, can you sleep at night? Can you sleep at night?
So I would suggest to add to that, put a dollar amount.
Well, how let's get to that. Okay. So I'm starting with the feeling, because
okay.
you and I both know that it's emotional, right? When
yep.
when you go through down markets, we talk about risk as a measurement, and there are measurements for it, but it's how people feel it. And so that's the first thing. Can you sleep at night? And if not, I think you need to have a conversation. But remember, when you're having a conversation and you can't sleep at night, you may have to de-risk the portfolio. You can't maintain the same return expectation if you're going to adjust your risk profile. And people lose that fact,
yeah.
right?
Understand the downside on dollars. So you've got gut check on the dollars on the downside. What's your third tip?
Well, it's financial planning. So it goes back to work out the long-term plan. So work backwards from your goals and objectives and do a proper plan. Put the work in to know how much risk and return you need to take in order to achieve that long-term plan. And then you've got a basis to come back to when you have up markets, to say, am I taking too much risk? And you have down markets, am I taking too much risk? Am I getting enough return? It takes, I was gonna say all the stress, that's not true. It takes a lot of the pressure off.
And if you wanna take a lot of pressure off, you wanna attend our upcoming seminar on how to protect and grow in your portfolio through every market condition to ensure your retirement will never run out of money. We're gonna do that on Tuesday, March 21st, 7 p.m. at the Four Points Sheraton Hotel. You need to register at morethanmoneyradio.com. To join us.
Thanks for taking the time to join us for another edition on More Than Money on QR Calgary. On behalf of Faisal, myself, Dave, we look forward to talking to you next week.
David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.